to number 8, verse. We won't read all of them. We'll just read starting in verse 5. But when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only. That is a key statement made in this story. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Now, it's very likely that when he identified that last statement right there, and say to my servant, do this, and he doeth it, he was referencing or describing the very servant that was in verse 6, that was sick of palsy and grievously tormented. He was calling him my servant. He was saying, if he's talking about that same particular person, he's saying, I can tell him to do and he doeth it. What a description of a servant. Or could we be called a servant? Could we be classified as a servant of Jesus Christ in the light of this description here? I say do and he doeth it. That's what a servant is. A servant is one that God, our Master, says do and we do. Amen. We don't do it because we feel like it. We don't do it because maybe even the reward. We do it because we've been asked to do it. And our Master is worthy of us carrying out what He asked. Verse number 10, when Jesus heard it, He marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Verse 13, Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Now, of course, if you've been here last Sunday or this morning, you know that we've been trying to preach on the subject of getting help from God. Getting help from God. And I'm glad there's help for us in God, regardless to what's going on, regardless to how desperate we need, how big our needs are, how small our needs are, or how many of our needs. God is the source of help. Amen. I like that. And there's help for us. But I believe illustrated with these two stories, in the first part of chapter 8, we have a man getting help for himself. And then in verse 5 through 13, there's a man getting help for another person. Amen. Getting help from God for ourselves and then for others. And we started this morning out of verse number 5, dealing with getting help from God for others. And we talked about that. And the first thing, and of course I mentioned this this morning, the key element of this man, this centurion, getting help from God was his faith. He talked about that in verse 10. Jesus identified his faith as being a great faith, so as not found in all of Israel. And this was a Gentile. This was a Roman soldier. This was a centurion. Amen. But yet he exercised, demonstrated, declared great faith. And Jesus responded to that faith. Amen. In verse 13, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And so it was his faith that moved Jesus to work in that man, in his servant's life. It was his faith. And we talked, first of all this morning, we talked about what kind of faith, what are some of the elements of that faith that brings about help from God for other people. And we notice, first of all, in the beginning stage, it was a discerning faith. A discerning faith. A faith that notices. A faith that is alert and aware of the need of someone else. Amen. Now, we're not living by faith when we're selfish. We're not living by faith when we're blind to the needs of others. Amen. Now, that the needs of others could be the sinners that need to be saved, or it could be the saints of God that need to be encouraged, or a need being met, or whatever. But there is a discerning faith. We'll never be instrumental in being used of God to help others or get help for others. Amen. Unless we have some discernment about us. Unless we have some spiritual notice, some spiritual amen, if I could say it this way, if we could pick up on the needs of others, this discernment. And so it was a discerning faith, and we preached about that this morning. I want to move on to a second truth. I want to try to cover quite a bit of ground and try to get done with this if I can. Some of these I'll just kind of bump around on and go on, but I got a couple I want to just bog in on a little bit if I could tonight. The second truth about this faith, not only was it a discerning faith or a faith of discernment, but also it was a denouncing faith. This man had some things working against him. As a centurion, he had some things working against him, my friend, for him to be able to get some help from God. We pointed out this morning, he was a Roman soldier. That meant he was a Gentile. And we all know the history of the Bible talks about how that Jews and Gentiles, amen, detested each other. They wouldn't have no dealings with each other. They were separate, amen. They wouldn't have no dealings. Well, here is a Gentile going to a Jew to get some help. He had to have some denouncement. He had to deny some things in his life. Amen. He had to go against culture. Amen. He had to go against racial barriers. He had to go against his nationality. He had to go against reputation. He had to go against what people would say about him as a Roman soldier, Gentile, going to a Jew to get some help. And so there was a denouncing faith. He even said to Jesus, I'm not worthy, in verse 8, that thou shouldest come under my roof. What's he saying? I'm denying myself. I'm not important. I'm not valuable. He's saying to Jesus, I'm denouncing the fact that I'm a Gentile, that I'm a soldier. See, Jesus was for peace. Here was a trained soldier that no doubt had done harm to a lot of people. But yet now he's going to the Prince of Peace to get some help as a soldier. He was a Roman. Of course, we all know what the Romans thought about Jesus. And by the way, they still do. Amen. Don't trust no Bible that comes from Rome. Hello. Don't trust in any. I don't care if it's got Bible wrote in big old letters on it. If it came, my friend, from the Vaticanus, you ought to reject it. That's from Rome. Nothing's ever good come out of Rome. Nothing. Amen. Amen. Rome's always fought against God. Amen. Amen. That's right. And still fights against God. Amen. That religion that's birthed in Rome, my friend, has killed millions. Millions. Over 50 million of our Baptist forefathers. Amen. And I hadn't forgot it either. Amen. Here in a few months, they'll be celebrating Easter around this part of the country, and they'll be having these big joint services. And they'll have all kinds and everything under the sun represented, and letting them pray, letting them sit on the platform, letting them have part. That's not going to happen. I'm not an ecumenicalist, amen. I'm not looking to hook up with that crowd that killed my forefathers. You say, preacher, you don't forgive. It's not a matter of forgiveness. It's a matter of truth. It's a matter of truth. Truth is what divides. Well, I need to get off of that. Well, here's a Roman getting help from Jesus. And then not only that, he was a centurion. He was a man of credibility. He was a man of position. He was a man of prestige. Being a centurion meant that he had at least 100 soldiers under his command and his authority. But he had to denounce all that in order to go to Jesus. Amen. Well, I tell you, if we're going to have a faith that drives us, motivates us, inspires us to get some help from God for other people, we're going to have to deny ourselves in a lot of areas. Amen. A third thing I want to mention quickly, and that is, I not only notice it's a discerning faith, a denouncing faith, it's also a developed faith. You don't just have faith. Faith has got to come from somewhere. And a good place to find that is Romans 10 and verse 17. So then faith cometh. Everybody say cometh. Come. So then faith cometh. If it cometh, that means it wasn't there before it came. Amen. Had it not come, it wouldn't have been there. So then faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. You say, preacher, what give this man faith? He's had to have heard something. He had to have heard something. Have you ever thought about what he might have heard? Have you thought about what he might have heard? You ought to do a study sometime on the ministry of Jesus in the city of Capernaum. And if you go to John chapter number 4, you will find that there was another miracle took place in the city of Capernaum. And I want to tell you, it is, if you put them up side by side, they look very similar. And it is the healing of the nobleman's son. I want to just reference that right quick. I'm talking about it was a developed faith. A faith that was built to the point that it reached out and got help from God for other people. Amen. I'm going somewhere with this. Watch this right here. In John chapter number 4, I want to read it. I won't read all of it, but I want to reference some of it. You have done read about the centurion, how that he went, he was up Capernaum, he went, and he got help from Jesus for his servant that was back at the house. All right, and here's the story of the man, the nobleman's son. I'm going to start reading verse 46 of chapter 4 of John. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made water and water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea and to Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Amen. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. The man believed the word that Jesus had spoken to him, and he went his way. A lot of similarity between that and the centurion. Centurion left his house, went and got Jesus. Jesus didn't come. Jesus just sent the word and told him, said, go thy way. Your son's been made whole. And he went back and found out that his son was made whole at the very same hour that Jesus spoke the word. So it was with the centurion. Could it have been that the centurion had heard about that miracle and went to Jesus with that in his mind? Jesus, you helped him. You worked in his behalf. Amen. And you have no respect for a person, and you'll help me. Amen. And you'll help me. Amen. That ought to right there build your faith. That ought to develop your faith when you hear testimonies of what God has done. That's why it's important that when God does something in your life, that you tell it. Because what that's going to do to other people, it's going to build their faith. So that when they go through a trial that maybe is similar to yours, they'll be able to go to God and say, God, please help me. You helped them. You worked in their life. You answered their prayer. You did this and you did that. God, here's my request. I lay it before you with confidence. It was a developed faith. Amen. Well, I like that. Here's something else. And I'm going to bog in on this a little bit. It was a desiring faith. It was a desiring faith. Amen. His faith was great because he desired something big for somebody else. Little faith might just want big things for yourself. But great faith desires something big for somebody else. Amen. When's the last time you prayed for God to do something big for somebody? Huh? But you know what? Going back to the first point we talked about this morning about discernment, you'll not pray for something big if you don't discern they need something big. If you don't see that they have a need that's big, you won't be asking God for something that's big. Amen. But he had a desiring faith, a desiring faith. Amen. He felt the burden. There was a desire, a real genuine care, a concern in his heart for this man or this servant. The servant getting help was important to him. It was a priority to him. It was a desire for him. Amen. Here's what Ivor Powell said. Ivor Powell said, blessed are they who can feel the hurt of suffering people. Did you hear that? Blessed are they who can feel the hurt of suffering people. Wise are they who motivated by love, seek help of the Son of God for other people. Amen. He had a desiring faith. I want to bog in on one little truth right here, and I'm going to go on. Here's one reason why he desired help for this servant. He genuinely cared. That was the bottom line. That was the foundation for all the action, my friend, that this servant this centurion had. He genuinely loved and genuinely cared for this needy servant of his. You know, we'll not want help for other people. We'll not seek help for other people from God unless there was a genuine care and a genuine concern. You know what? The same story is found in Luke chapter number 7. I want to read some of this. Here's what the verse says in Luke 7 and verse 2. And a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him. Did you get that? Was sick and ready to die. Hey, centurion, why are you making all this effort to get some help for your servant? The Bible tells us, because he was dear unto him. Now listen, I want to talk about that word dear just for a little bit. Who was dear unto me. Now that word dear, the Greek word translated dear is translated two different times in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 and 6, has the word precious. You know why that he saw help for this young man? It's because he was precious to him. Amen. You'll not seek help, and I won't seek help from God for people unless there is a connection between our heart and those people. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. He cared for them. He was precious. He said it was, he was dear unto him. And that word dear means he was prized. That centurion looked at that servant as a treasure. He prized him. He was important to him. You won't help. You won't seek help from God for other people that's not important to you. You know, when we'll seek help for God to deal with sinners, it's when they're important to us. When they're a prize to us. When they are precious to us. That's when we'll move to get some help from God in their behalf. Amen. In fact, the word translated dear in Luke 7, 2, where it said he was dear unto him, that word, the Greek word, see if I pronounce it right, see if it don't sound like one of our English words. Intimos. Y'all didn't know I knew Greek, did you? I don't. Amen. I just got things that tells me how to pronounce that stuff. But you know what? What does that sound like? Brother Jacob's already mentioned it. Intimos. Intimate is where we get ours. Hey, you know who he went to get some help for? He went to get help for someone that had some closeness to him, that had some value, that was precious, that was prized, that was honorable, that was intimate to him. Amen. If you love them, it's the bottom line. If you love them, you'll seek help for them. Now listen to this. Who was it that the centurion was getting help for? The Bible calls him a servant. The truth of that is he was a slave. You know what I found out? Listen to this. Slaves in those days could be purchased very cheaply in the marketplace. So he was trying to help somebody that to other people didn't have much value to. They looked at him, ain't much. That there don't cost much. Listen to this. I found this out as well. Not only could they be purchased very cheaply in the marketplace, they were considered to be a thing. Here is a centurion moving in God's direction to get help from God for someone that people would not look at as a thing. But watch this right here. Not only that, these servants were valued to be less than sick cattle. Here's a centurion moving to get help from God for a servant that the average man would look at and say, oh, my cow, my old sick cow is worth more than him. Here, listen to this. The only difference, they said, the only difference between a cow or an animal and a slave was that the slave could speak. Amen. And servants, slaves were looked upon and disesteemed so low. Here's what they said. Masters could ill-treat that slave, mistreat the slave, even kill the slave, and would not be accountable to the law. Nobody wouldn't say nothing about it. Why? That's how low of a level that servant occupied. But yet here's a centurion, just because he cared, just because he loved him, was going to God to get some help for him. That centurion could have had this mentality. He's just another one. He can be replaced. Dime a dozen, nothing to it. No, because he cared, because he loved him, because there was something precious about him, guess what? He went to the ultimate to get some help from God in his behalf. I'll tell you, we ought to look at people in the household of faith, my friend, as people that are precious, amen. Amen. I'm sorry to tell you, Lord, sorry to say it, but a lot of churches are in an uproar and they fuss and they fight and they kick and scratch and they gossip and they downgrade and criticize each other. Why? I'll tell you why. They really don't care about each other. Amen. That centurion had not, Brother Silas, had not that centurion really have cared for that servant? My friend, according to what I read to you, he could have killed that servant. He could have just done away with him, my friend, and replaced him, and nothing would have been said. But he wanted him. He wanted help for him. And he went to God in his behalf and said, oh, Jesus, my servant is at the point of death. He's ready to die. I know to everybody else he might have been worthless, but to me, he's precious. Help him, Lord. Help him, Lord. Help him, Lord. People in this church may be going through this or that and the other. And to the average out yonder, my friend, the government or whatever, they may not care about people inside RBT. You going through a hard time? Well, tough. Amen. But we ought to care. And we ought to esteem them as being precious and valuable. Amen. I'm talking about a desiring faith. Lord, help us, friend. Do you understand tonight that we could have the greatest church in the world. We could have the greatest church. Listen, we could be on the very brink of the greatest outbreak of revival that this part of the country has ever witnessed. I'll tell you what will stop it. I'll tell you what will kill it. Is, my friend, when we don't care about the needs of other people, when they are going through it or they're lost or whatever it is, and, my friend, we're blind to it. Amen. It was a desiring faith. And then I want to mention a fifth thing. It was a dutiful faith. In other words, it was active. Oh, I doubt there'll be much shouting here. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 11 is the Hebrews Hall of Faith. Goes through there one Bible character after another. And it would say, by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, and so on. And it would tell that what they did by faith Noah, being warned of God, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Faith caused Noah to build an ark. Faith caused Abel to sacrifice the best that he had to the Lord. What is your faith causing you to do? What is your faith motivating you to do? Amen. Faith is active. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Amen. We're a people that is governed by faith. Faith is not just saying, I believe. Faith, my friend, is a power that's in action in your life that motivates you, inspires you, and drives you. Amen. What are you doing because of your faith? What is your faith causing you to do? It was a dutiful faith. Amen. James said faith without works is dead, being alone. Amen. This centurion could have said about the servant, "Servant, I believe Jesus could help you." And that would have been it. But would that have been faith? Faith says, "Hey, I'm going to be back after a while. I've got a journey to take. I hear Jesus is over here and I'm going after Him." Amen. Because He's the only one to help you. He's, my friend, the source of help for anybody, no matter what your needs are. And I'm going after Him. What caused Him to do that? His faith. It was a dutiful faith. Amen. Something must be done. And his faith rose up and said, "Why not you?" Something must be done. Something needs to be done. I wish somebody would do something. Then his faith steps up and says, "What about you?" Amen. His faith steps up and says, "What about you? Why not you?" We need somebody in this generation. This generation needs a witness. This generation needs, my friend, a role model. What about you? When I make a statement like that, young ladies, young men, when I make a statement like that, that this generation needs some role models, not Hollywood, not that bunch of junk. I'm talking about some godly, modest, holy young people that's head over heels in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, faithful to church, honors mom and dad, and lives by the book, full of the Holy Ghost. When I preach like that, does your faith step up in your heart and say, "I want that to be me. I want that to be me." Amen. This generation is going to hell. You know it. Amen. I'm telling you, this generation is going to the dogs. It really is. And I want to be careful in light of Romans 13. Now that we've got one that's been voted in, I want to be careful what I say. Because of what's in Romans 13. Are you listening? We all need to be careful what we say about the future president-elect. Or any of them, my friend. We better be careful. And I'm the world's worst. Amen. I want to just gnaw on them. Amen. I want to just blow them out. But I want to be careful what I say about them. I want to pray for them, as Brother Carroll challenged our hearts with tonight, to pray for them in authority. They're set up and appointed of God. Amen. We don't know what's in charge. We don't know what's going on here. We don't know what the future holds. But I do believe this, that we're seeing some of the key people put in key positions to bring in the days of Noah and the days of Lot. Are you listening? The Bible talks about that. Before Jesus comes back, it'll be as it were in the days of Noah and as it was in the days of Lot. And we know, my friend, the prevailing sins of those hours. My friend, listen, we've got it, my friend, now to where our government, my friend, is sympathetic and tolerant. And we've even got, my friend, people in positions now that'll just vote her through. Anything that comes up that's favorable to them, it will just go right through. You say, "Preacher, what's going to happen?" I think this society is going to get worse and worse. It don't matter who's in Washington, it's going to get worse and worse. Are you listening? Wicked and ungodly judges, amen, instead of upholding the Constitution, they feel that it's their duty and their responsibility to make laws and change laws. Are you listening? Hey, I want to tell you, as I sang that song, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." Listen, I don't know what God's got going on, but I just know and believe in my heart that He's in control, that this thing didn't sneak up on Him, as we've already heard tonight, and I'm resting in that. I'm resting in that. Joseph in the pit. Joseph being lied on. Joseph being mistreated. Joseph being forgotten about. But yet time and again the Bible said, but the Lord was with Joseph. Amen. Hallelujah. Wonder how I got on that. But it's a dutiful faith. Amen. It's something that needs to be done. And we need to stand and let our faith be active. Some people claim to have faith, but it ain't even strong enough to cause them to live right.
Some people claim to have faith, but they don't have enough faith to even cause them to read the Bible on a regular or faithful basis. Amen. Some claim to have faith, but they don't even have enough faith to cause them to live right at the workplace or in the schoolhouse. Some claim to have faith, but they don't have enough faith, my friend, to influence their life at the house. But faith is active. It's beautiful faith. I'm going to hurry on right quick and finish. I know y'all can't believe I preached less than 30 minutes already. But I'm not done yet. Don't lose hope. Have faith, sis. Brother, have faith. Amen. Here's something else quickly. I'm trying to give it to you. I want to finish this. Number six or whatever it is, it was a depending faith. A dependent faith. A depending faith. Real faith is drawn to the one that possesses the ability. The centurion could not do what this servant needed done. He had something wrong with him inwardly. He had something wrong with him outwardly that could not be fixed by human resources. When it said there that he was sick, that's bodily. When it said that he was grievously tormented, that was inwardly. He was suffering in the physical and he was suffering from the spiritual. But guess what? The centurion, my friend, had a faith that did not depend on himself, but depended on the one that is faithful and true. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I like that. Real faith knows the inability of human beings. Amen. Knows the inability of the natural. Amen. We probably don't go to Jesus and seek help for other people because we really don't believe. We really don't have a faith that is really producing in us a dependence in the Lord. Your heart will be overcome and eat up with fear in these days of uncertainties if you don't have a dependence and a peace in your heart that God is able. Amen. It was a depending faith. And there's a lot of things we can say about that, but I want to mention this, number seven. It was a determined faith. Well, I thought about this. Lord, give me this in the prayer room, Brother Carroll, when you was requesting prayer for your relatives. Lord spoke my heart about this. It was a determined faith. The centurion was getting help, not for somebody that was just had a little fever. He wasn't trying to get some help for somebody, my friend, that was just had a headache. He was moving to get some help, Brother Klepper, for a man, according to Luke 7 and 2, that was ready to die. He was sick with palsy. He was grievously tormented. Luke chapter 7 and verse 2 tells us that this servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. That word ready, where it said he was ready to die, means he was to be at the point of. Any breath could be his last one. He is so far down. He is so far gone. It's over. So it's close to being over for him that, my friend, he's one heartbeat away. He's one breath. He's ready at the point of dying. But what did the centurion do? Did he give up? Did he say, well, he's too far gone? He's too far gone. There's no hope. There's no help. No. But real faith rose up and knew the God of impossibilities was still on the throne, still on the scene. And the centurion went to Jesus. Even though, my friend, the servant was ready to die. Hallelujah. And usually when someone's ready to die, that's the most likely time for a reversal is possible. When they're ready to die, and they're dying, and they're on their deathbed, most time what they do is die. Unless Jesus steps in. In fact, Jesus, don't. It doesn't matter to Him whether He comes before they die, while they're dying, or after they're dead. He is the resurrection and the life. He can turn it around, thank God. And I want to say, Lord God wants to make this point real to us. I've heard request after request, and I could go around the room and I could point out different ones that have gave requests for relatives, gave requests, my friend, for children, gave requests for this and that and the other. I'm talking about big requests. I'm talking about people that's almost gone. Hey, amen. I thought about that, Brother Carroll, down in the prayer room when the report came about that request you gave without getting too personal. My friend, that they were as wicked could be. Far gone. About as low as they could get. About as far gone as they could get. And the devil, I know what he'll do many times. He'll creep up on your shoulder and say, you know what? It's irreversible. They're too far gone. The devil's got them too much. They're grievously tormented with the fires of hell. And there's no hope for them. You might as well just accept it. They're not going to get saved. Let your faith rise up and say, uh-uh. I don't believe that. I'm still laying hold. My faith is still embracing the promises of God that says, if I'd ask, I'd receive. Thank God, if I believe it, I'd have it. Don't give up. Some of you is praying for a big miracle, a big need in your home, a big need in your children. Don't give up. When all hope's gone, help's on the way. Hallelujah. Jesus will never say to you, I wish you'd have come earlier. I wish you'd have come when they just had a headache. Why are you now coming when they're at the point of death? When they're so far gone that it looks like it's a hopeless case? No, Jesus don't tell you, because it's never too late to go to the Lord. Hallelujah. Let that build your faith. Let that God stir your faith up. Amen. To believe God. Miss Debbie's requested prayer and still requests prayer for her, some of her relatives as well. Wicked, ungodly. One of them was in the service this morning. Oh, I'm sure there's times, Miss Debbie, I'm sure there was times the devil crept up on your shoulder and said, they're never going to get in. They're never even going to come to church. They don't care that the fact that you're going with God. They're going to go the opposite direction. Lo and behold, there they were. One of them sitting on the pew this morning. Hearing the Word of God preached. Amen, folks, don't give up. People didn't give up on you. Amen. I'm sure back when I was lost, I'm sure that there were people looked at me as a hopeless case. They probably looked at me going down the dead end road, Brother Silas. They probably looked at me as a too far gone. But I want to tell you what. Thank God I had a praying mama and a praying daddy and a praying grandma and a praying church that wouldn't take no for an answer. They laid hold on God and believed God in my behalf. And if I'd have kept going, Brother Rob, the direction I was going in, I probably would have, no doubt, wound up in hell. I'm telling you, I went to church January the 19th, the first night of a 7-week revival. I didn't go to church and get saved, and I didn't get saved that night. I was in sin, and I'm telling you, what's the truth? I didn't go to get saved. 20 years old. The next night, I didn't go to get saved. Living in sin, planning on it, making plans on it. And that was the direction I was going in. And I want to tell you what's the truth. My mom saw me go through my teenage years, Sister Carpenter, no doubt wet her pillow many a night, weeping over my sorry, rebellious soul. Amen, a heartache and a heartbreak to mom and dad, disobeying them and disrespectful to them and sassing them and kept them worried, sick at all hours of the night, not knowing half the time where I was, whether I was dead or alive, what was going on with me. Are you listening? But mom and dad kept praying. Thank God, Mom, if they're looking on, I hope they shout in the streets tonight. Glory, Mom and Dad. Hallelujah. Amen. So I don't believe that. Well, that's why you don't get blessed. You don't believe nothing. Amen. I'll tell you what, I came in the church on that second night, January 20th, 1981, 20 years old. Came in and sat in on about the fifth row back, right on the end. And I want to tell you what, there was the night that God says it's time that mom and daddy's faith be called to record. Amen. They've been praying. They've been beseeching. They've been knocking on heaven's door. They've been calling on God. They've been believing God for their child. I thank God to get in. Hallelujah. I didn't know it, Brother Bob, but that night, God said it's time to answer prayer. And I'm telling you, the sweet Holy Ghost of God, my friend, got back there and got in my lap and began to talk to me and began to show me and speak to me and draw me. Hallelujah. And I got gloriously saved.
Amen.
Amen. What if mom and dad had quit praying? What if they'd have said all through them rebellious teenage years? What if they'd have said, oh, he's too far gone? He's done got the taste of sin. And I'm just going to tell you young people something. You better not ever get a taste of it. Because if you ever get a taste of it, you'll never get that taste out of your life and mouth as long as you live. Amen. Because once you ever get a taste of sin, you've got a there'll be an open door right there for the devil to tempt you the rest of your days. Amen. I wished I had a testimony like Brother Craig and some of these in here. My friend that don't know nothing about the taste of alcohol and don't know nothing about that lifestyle. I wished I had that testimony. Are you listening? Now I want to tell you, glory be to God. It took the same grace, same blood, my friend, to save me as it did to take and save Brother Craig. Thank God for mom and dad that prayed for me. Hallelujah. I'm about to have a spell. Are you listening? Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. For a determined faith that says, I'm not taking no for an answer. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to keep praying, and I'm going to pray some more. And if God don't answer today, I'll pray again tomorrow. And if God don't move tomorrow, I'm going to pray the next day. If He don't move this week and answer, I'll pray next week. And if He don't move this year and answer, I'll pray next year. Hallelujah. Glory. By the way, I just thought to let you know it's the Lord's will to preach. Amen. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost of God. I tell you what I feel He's doing. I feel He's encouraging your faith. I to continue to believe God. Continue to pray. Amen. I mean, I could go up this side and down this side. And I can point out individuals that you've prayed and prayed and you've prayed for different requests that haven't been answered yet. The devil's probably told you there ain't no need to pray no more. Might as well hang it up. They're too far gone. This centurion went and got help for a man the Bible said was ready to die. Woo! Glory! That ought to be a help to you. Amen. Amen. I remember when we first come up here, Brother Mark, you and Brother Travis wasn't on the spiritual road. Miss Debbie, Miss Betty, I don't know how many times come to me. Pray for my sons. Pray for my sons. Glory to God. I mean, Brother Mark, there for a while after we got up here, he didn't know whether he was coming or going. Did he, Brother Craig? He didn't know if he's saved or not. I mean, you could tell him everything you know and half you wasn't sure of, and it didn't go nowhere with him. But Miss Betty just kept praying. God, deal with my sons. I want my sons to have a heart for God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now look what God's done. Hey, look what God's done. Amen. Oh, Lord, help us. Amen. Miss Candace has prayed for her brother. Request prayer every Wednesday night for her brother. Just keep praying. Be determined. I'm going to get God. Hey man, don't tell your brother, but you can tell him in your heart, you can tell him in your mind and say, look, you can do whatever you want to do and you go in the direction you want to go. I'm going after God. I'm not going after you. I'm going after God. God's going to come get you. Amen? Hey, man. I thought about Miss Barbara, how she's prayed and been burdened over Jared and Jody and Melanie and all of them. Hey, man. And pray. Hey, sis, keep praying.
Amen.
Keep praying. Amen. Hallelujah. Keep praying.
Amen.
Miss Carpenter, you've been praying over your children. God had worked in her heart. The devil probably told you, man, ain't no need to pray. They're going 100 miles an hour in the wrong direction. Don't look like God's going to do nothing.
Amen.
Keep in mind the centurion, purpose in his heart with his faith. I'm going to get Jesus and he's going to do something for a drastic situation.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Isn't that good?
Amen.
Brother Bob's sitting here tonight. He looked like he's pretty well a hopeless case. But God got him down here, however how he did that. Got him down here and put some preachers in his life. Amen. Put preachers in his life, began to witness to him, began to pray for him. Looked like he's gone. Looked like, man, I'm telling you, he's going to be able to reach him. And God answers prayer. Amen. No, Brother Jeff Brown, he just kept praying. He just kept praying. He got me introduced to Brother Bob and let me know the situation. We started praying, developed a friendship, started praying. And guess what? Make a long story short, you know, of course he came here a few services and then he was over. I was preaching at Brother Taylor's church at Grace Baptist, my friend, one night. And guess what? I'm telling you, was you there, Brother Craig? The Holy Ghost of God sat down on Brother Bob. He wasn't a brother then, but he's turned out to be one. Amen. I'll tell you, he's sitting back about this far. And guess what? I'm telling you, I was up on the platform getting ready to get in the pulpit to preach. And Brother Bob got up out of the pew. And I'm telling you, he came down the aisle about like this right here. I thought he was going to collapse before he ever got to the altar. Hallelujah to God. Amen. And we waited. I said, amen, Brother Bob. I'm talking about a grown man. Amen. Come down the altar, chin a quivering, crying, broken under the heaviness and the weight of conviction, drawn by the Holy God of heaven. Amen. He got in the altar, barely did get down the altar, and with quivering voice said, preacher, you thank God and save an old Lutheran. Hey, glory to God, I almost feel like running. Amen. Hallelujah. I did run that night.
Amen. Bless you.
Hey man, God did it. God did it. And I mean, Brother Silas, we could go to you and your wife. Brother, we could go to Brother Craddock, as far as dirt, amen. And guess what? God got him. Amen. God got him. He is a heathen, amen, says. Amen, he is a heathen. I'm talking about before he got saved. He is a heathen. Amen. Treat his life like dirt, amen. Are you listening? But guess what happened about 10 years ago? He got in. He met the one that made, amen, that was went and fetched, if you will, and said, come and get my husband. He's ready to die. If you don't get him, I'm going to kill him. Probably what she thought. God saved him. God saved him. Are you saved, brother? To the uttermost. Did a miracle in that home. And then God saved Miss Amber. Headed in the wrong direction. God only knows where Miss Amber would be tonight if she hadn't got saved when she did. God only knows. Headed in the wrong direction. You say, preacher, what made the difference? Prayers was going up and getting a hold of God and said, we're going to get God. We're going to go get God. Just like the nobleman went and said, come, ere my child die. God, if you don't do something, I'm going to lose my child. God, if you don't do something, my child's a goner. Hallelujah. No, glory. Let's go get God. Amen. That's a determined faith. Hallelujah. Brother Clepper, you was what when you got saved? 53. I say glory. What kind of faith was driving this centurion to go get help for another? A determined faith. I know it don't look good. I know that's what the centurion could have thought. I know it don't look good. And he may be dead before I ever get out of the driveway. I know it don't look good, but I ain't giving up.
Amen.
Yeah. I love him too much.
Yes.
He's precious to me. Yes. I care for him too much. I'm going after God. Hey, man. Here's a determined faith. And then another thing that really drove home that the seriousness and urgency of him getting help was that word ready. Not only where it said he was ready to die, meant he was at the point of death, but that word to die, I looked it up today, it got my mind, I got thinking, did you know that ready to die is in the present tense? Literally it says, he's ready to die right now, at this moment. But the centurion had determined faith to go get some help from God. For others. And then last, as it's seen, it's a delivering faith. It's productive. It's not in vain. It's not in vain, Brother J.R., to believe God. Amen. It's not in vain to believe God. The devil tries to weaken our faith and try to show us days and weeks that's come and gone. My friend, without a whole lot happening, and probably the Lord, that's our fault. We're trying to get great things from a great God with little, insignificant, weak, feeble faith.
Amen.
Jesus said, I'll go help him. Centurion said, no. And you don't even have to make the distance. You don't have to make the trip. I'm not worried if you didn't come under my roof. I tell you what, do just speak the word. Just release your word, and the power of your word will do the job.
Right. Yes. Amen.
Amen. You know what? Would it be all right if I said, hallelujah! Yeah. What do we have right here? The centurion went and got Jesus. Jesus way over yonder somewhere. Sent his word, did the business here. Jesus is way up yonder at the right hand of the Father. He sent His Word down here to do the business.
Amen.
Right there is the power. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I tell you what we need. We just need to get in line with the Word. Let the Word be in work. Listen, you know what? It's a foolish thing for you to reject the working of that Word in your life.
Amen.
That's the same as telling God, don't help me. If God's going to help you, He's going to do it through His Word.
Right.
He sent His Word. That centurion said, Jesus, you know what? I mean, I'm not like you or anything, but I want to tell you, I'm a man under authority. And I've got soldiers under me. And here's what I do. I get stuff done with just my word. The centurion said, Lord, I mean, I'm just a human being, but I get a whole lot done just with my word. I'll tell one to go and he goeth. I'll tell another to come and he cometh. And I tell another to do and he do it. He said, I don't have to do it myself. All I do is say it and it gets done. Jesus, all you have to do is speak the word. Just say it and it's done.
Amen.
Hey, man, let me close right here. I don't feel like closing, but I need to close. I tell you what we need. We just need God to speak. There's hope for our families. There's hope for our children. There's hope for our church. There's hope, my friend, for our country. As long as God is a talking, amen, sending His Word.
Amen.
Speaking His Word. Well, that ought to encourage you. Well, I feel good tonight. Thank God. I'm excited what I'm seeing God do at RBT. I'm excited what I'm seeing God do. Amen. Glory to God. We've had several services. We've had
We've had about three or four services in the last few weeks, 3 weeks, I think, where we ain't even had no preaching. And it could have very well easily have happened tonight. It could have very easily have happened tonight. Amen. Because it was about the white cap. In fact, it did white cap there. Amen. Wind was blowing pretty good. Hey, man. I'm glad I went ahead and preached now. Build our faith up. Keep believing God. Go get some help. I'm through. I'm done. Some of you, I've done preached two Sundays, four messages. I've done preached on getting help from God. And some of you still need to deal with point number one. You still need to get some help for yourself. You can't help others till you get help for yourself. Amen. Get you some help tonight. Get you some help. And what a purpose tonight to want to be useful, be instrumental, and get some help from God for other people. Praying for them to get saved. Or just being having discernment and be sensitive to the needs around us about people. And listen, just because somebody shakes your hand with a smile on their face does not mean that they're in a spiritual wreck. Doesn't mean that they're on the edge of a disaster spiritually, on the brink of quitting, on the brink of throwing in the towel. You don't know the shape people are in when they come to church, because we know how to, I hate to say it, but we've learned how to fake it. Come to church, listen, 400 miles crossed up with God, come to church, and we know when to say amen, nod our head, shake our hand. We've got that little Christian lingo. We know how to talk it, but in our heart we're dead and dry, 40 miles from God. Are you listening?
Yeah.
Some of you need some help for yourself still yet. Amen. And even though you may not need help tonight for yourself, doesn't mean you won't need it tomorrow. Your spiritual condition is going to require constant attention and maintenance. Amen. Well, the devil hates us, don't he? And we hate him. Amen. I just want the sorry rascal to know if he's listening. I just want him to know that we have got a real, true source of help. That no matter what's going on, it's going to help us. Now, but the first thing we need to do now is to make sure that we're trying to help ourselves. Amen. Amen. Deal with what you know in your life that needs to be dealt with. Amen. Just go ahead and deal with it. You don't have to have God hit you over the head. Amen. Or the preacher to corner you and say, what about this? Hey, just deal with whatever's in your life that you know needs to be dealt with. Just go ahead and deal with it. That's a good thing, dude. You know what you're doing? You're helping yourself. You're making a move to help yourself spiritually. And that'll mean a lot when you go to get help from Jesus. I believe there's a lot of people try to get help from Jesus, and Jesus recognizes that you won't deal with things in your life. You won't deal with your amen. You won't deal with things in your life, but you're wanting me to help you. I believe if you'll deal with things in your life, and then you go get God, God will say, I'll help you. I'm going to work in your life. I'm going to move. Amen. Let's bow for prayer.